All right, I gotta put the selfie stick down. It's the Lighter Side of the Dark Side, your Thursday Night Freak Show. It's the Dark Mark Show. I'm Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Right next to me, what is that, tequila?
It's tequila. Yes. A little bit of lime.
With a little bit of lime is my beautiful co-host, Nicole Six.
Hello.
And, hey, Nicole.
And what a show. And what a show we have. Actually, yeah, we were going to have Michael Gogan in between the beautiful Bree Walker and Nicole Six, but things happened, interestingly enough. But we have, again, you were on my first show ever. April 1st, 2013.
April Fool's Day.
And it might be, your mic's really low. It might
really?
Be. Yeah, it's not you.
Or is it just my voice?
Oh, I love when you do that. I love when you breathe with the sultry voice.
It is. But, no. One and only. Right?
I know. That is, we know her, anchorwoman, actress, activist, the goddess of Venice. Bree Walker is here.
No, actually, it's my dog who's the god of Venice.
Petey is here, too.
Yes, he is, with his harmonica.
And your friend, and it's funny, because we had him on the show. Big hit. Everybody loved the star of Critters, star of Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. He's been on the soap opera Santa Barbara. He's been on the soap opera Passions. He's been all over Hollywood for the last however many years, and he's got stories upon stories upon stories. He's actually teaching people how to kiss now. It's mm-hmm. Michael Lee Gogan.
That's the one and only me.
The one and only you. And when I had you on the show, I picked you up and I said, and you asked me, you said, who have I had on the show? And I mentioned Bree Walker. Oh, I know Bree. I love Bree.
I do. She's great. We have a long
history together.
We're going to talk about that. And yeah, sitting next to you, I've actually wanted to have him as a guest for a while. And now he's good and liquored up, so he's good to go. He also has a lot of questions because there's no bigger Hunter S. Thompson fan or Charles Bukowski fan in the world. This is the man responsible for Skid Row Studios. You may know him as Chester Farnsworth on Facebook, but his name is Jeremy Henson.
I'm so happy to be on your show. Thank you.
Finally.
Thank you so much.
But there's not going to be any fire, no electrocution. No, we're just going to talk.
Can we shoot you out of a cannon?
Sure.
Maybe. Who knows? Anyway, just to do the sponsors real quick, Doomy's Home Cooking, Jeremy, if you want a little bit of that.
Thank you.
Doomy's Home Cooking. Have you been to Doomy's, Jeremy, since
we've been talking about? Doomy's yet, but it's one of these places on my list that I want to go to, and it's what, the hidden cheeseburger on the menu or something?
The Big Mac on the secret menu.
Right, right.
There it
is.
Looking at a picture right now.
It's one of the best veggie burgers in Los Angeles right there. LAist picked them as one of the best burgers in Los Angeles. One of the 10 best nachos in Los Angeles, as picked by the LA Weekly. The only one that didn't have meat in it. 1253 Vine Street, number 9, Hollywood, California.
I drove past it the other day, I was on my way to do something, but yeah. I want to go.
I really took Bree went to see my show with Carpe Noctis around Halloween, and I went to Doomy's Home Cooking. You had vegan chicken fried steak.
It was awesome.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
I didn't even know I wasn't eating an animal.
Right. We're probably going next week to celebrate what could be the last Dark Mark show ever. And we're going to have deep-fried Oreos for the first time.
Yes, we will.
Because we usually have creme brulee there, and it's delicious.
Yeah.
But if you're in L.A., because we have worldwide audience, go to 1253 Vine Street, number 9. And if you're on the internet, go to darkmarkshow.com. I know, Michael's a little broken
up.
It might be the last Dark Mark show, but...
Yeah. No one leaves L.A.
If you go to audible.com...
Might.
There's a might. If you go to audible.com, I put in Bree Walker... And I got a lot of Scott Walker Brooks, which we don't want. But intimidated the governor's story, a nation's challenge.
Ew.
But you were just telling me about our friend Greg Palast.
Oh, yeah, Greg
Palast. The liberal muckraker.
Ooh, yeah,
he's going to have stuff on there.
He's a muckraker.
There you go. The best democracy money can buy. The best democracy money can buy. Armed madhouse. Written and audio narrated by Greg Palast. Trust me, if you're looking for news that is not on the nightly news, but it is a fact, and how this country is going to the dogs and going to the corporations, you need to go to darkmarkshow.com, click on that audible button right next to my smiling face, get one of these Greg Palast books, or any book you want. You don't have to read about that. You can read about anything you want.
We are going to produce the documentary for Billionaires and Ballot Bandits so that we'll tell you how this next election will likely be stolen.
Right.
It's about cross-checking names.
Right.
So wait for that. But in the meantime, Ted Rall got fired from the LA Times.
Well, hold on. We got one more sponsor, Bree, which is...
Gosh, you've gotten so sponsored up.
We've got AdamandEve.com.
Whoa, I like that place.
Yes, it is. It's the number one... toy store on the net, and I will have a special offer on Adam and Eve, as well as AdamMail.com, the number one gay sex toy store on the net.
I feel the vibration.
I'll bet you do. Who knows what's going on under the desk. So, Bree, you were talking about Ted Rall. Now, how has news changed since we said this is the first show I asked you the same thing. news has changed since you were doing. You were the number one anchor woman in Los Angeles.
Well, thank you. I don't know if that's exactly true, but I do know that I sure did love my career.
And New York and San Diego, where when I was a 14-year-old kid, I would watch you with eyes, and depending on if my parents were in the room, my hands on my pants.
Appendages were involved?
You never know.
Appendages were involved even if the pants were on.
Well, I will tell you, when I was in junior high school, and I haven't told you this in person, when I was in junior high school, and you saw a picture of me when I was in junior high backstage at a Queen's Drag concert.
You look just the same.
Not quite. But anyway, so when I was in junior high, I remember being in school in junior high in ninth grade, and people would be like, people didn't know that you had the
unconventional hands.
Unconventional
hands
and feet. I'm waiting. I was. There was an intentional pause to make sure that you said it. So you have unconventional hands and feet. But people would say, "Watch when she, because you never saw the hands really." But once in a while, they would come up, and people were like, "No, seriously, she's got unconventional hands and feet."
And back then, we didn't gesticulate so much. You know, it wasn't all shouting and gesticulation.
But you never gesticulated.
We would have seen that.
So people were watching the little corner on the TV, and this was before HD, seeing what was going on with the hands.
Yeah, well, you know, this is one of those things where over time you begin to understand that your role is, if you are in the public eye and you do have a difference, that normal is relative, and we've come to that place where we do understand that, you know, we can be of all shapes and sizes and colors.
As we are in this, well, not colors, but as we are in the studio.
Wait a minute.
Five of the most different looking white people you've ever seen.
We know our ancestors are from many colors.
Yes, we're all brothers. Yes, absolutely.
According to anthropology, because the way my feet are shaped, my ancestors would be Egyptian. Which means I walk
like an Egyptian.
And by the way, that was a moment of intelligence by Nicole Six. We try to have one on every
Nicole.
Show.
So, she's so beautiful, too. Wow. So photogenic.
Trust me, I know.
I know. Yeah. You're always surrounded by pretty girls. So it's intimidating sometimes to be on the show.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, the good thing I brought you on with a couple guys. But
no kidding.
But anyway, Ted Rall has been doing...
Mark would say you're one of the pretty girls.
Oh, you definitely are one of the pretty girls.
There you go.
Well, let's talk about something substantial.
Bree, you've always been the person that people would turn around and they go, wow, that's Bree.
Yes, they still do.
They do. They do. And they still do.
I haven't seen you in 20 some years.
Let's start the show off with that. We're going to get to Ted Rall because I want to hear about this. But when did you two meet?
We met like 27 something odd years ago at the Screen Actors Guild at some caucus meeting for performers with disabilities. In fact, we are actually a part of the inception of that movement.
Really?
That's exactly right, because that was the year that then Governor Brown was initiating the year of people with disabilities. And so Screen Actors Guild got together writing a protocol for the language we used in the newsrooms so that we would use things like use as a wheelchair instead of wheelchair bound, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. Now, I know that's or the person with a disability instead of the actual disability.
Right,
person.
Right.
Yes, not a handicapped person, but a person with a disability.
Not a little person, Michael Gogan, but Michael Gogan, who happens to be a
short statured.
Short statured.
Because I'm not short in any of the areas.
I'll take your word for it. Well, you were telling me that you were going to bring a couple LPs to my show, and I didn't know what you were talking about.
I know you didn't know. You thought I was thinking.
You were going to bring in some records or something. You were going to bring like some old Creedence records to my show. By the way, I'm doing a show tomorrow night at the California Institute of Abnormal Arts.
I'll be there.
11334 Burbank Boulevard, part of the Beautiful Freaks Variety Show. And no offense, but it's
no offense taken. In fact, I brought the freak show because I live so close to the Venice Freak Show.
Right.
I always hang out there when I have a chance. And the son of Lobster Boy, they used to call these lobster claws.
Right.
And the son of Lobster Claw Boy, terrible word to use, but that's what they call him.
He's
going to be there at the freak show all week.
Right.
At the Venice Freak Show. I love those folks.
Yeah. That's the famous picture of the man who has that affliction. That's why they called him Lobster Boy, and that's why people.
Yeah, these were called Lobster Claw Syndrome before they knew it was ectrodactyly.
Right.
When I donated my blood to the Human Genome Project, when it first was launched, they were able to isolate through my family's blood I don't know if other people with Ectrodactyly were reached out to, but because I was in the public eye, I was reached out to by the folks at Cedars-Sinai, where my son was born. And it was some of our blood that was isolated so that the chromosome would be found for Ectrodactyly.
So you're probably one of the people that's the reason for the name change.
Well, I think Nicole Six understands that, you know, this is part of anthropology. And I really wanted to be an anthropologist because Margaret Mead was my absolute idol in high school. But I decided to major in partying instead of science. And so I ended up in broadcasting.
It's never, too late, though.
But I wanted to be a writer. I just party for fun.
But
sometimes I get paid to, so I guess it is a profession.
Bree's working on her master's degree in partying. I think she's got an honorary doctorate.
I hope so. Yeah.
Dr. Party.
Yeah, but I haven't been shot out of a cannon yet.
Well, actually, they're gonna take Bill Cosby's honorary doctorate and give it to you for partying.
I won't have earned all he did.
Anyway, Bree, you've been into a lot of radio studios. What do you think of Skid Row Studios?
It's awesome. Not only is your air conditioning working, which didn't usually happen in most of the radio places I was working, but it actually looks good, too, when I look at your show.
Right.
I love the webcast. I mean, you have some of the funniest, crazy mix-up, mash-up of people I've ever seen in one room.
Right.
And if you can hear what everybody's saying now and then, it's like, whoa, there is a party going on.
Well, I actually downloaded our first show at the John Lovitz Club. When everybody had a little too much absinthe, and you can't hear what anybody's saying. Everybody's talking over you. I've learned to control it a little bit. But
was that real absinthe?
Oh, yeah, it was. What do you think? You did the splits. You were throwing throwing your taint. All sorts of stuff happened.
But I do the splits all the time.
That was just a Tuesday.
You were showing you're showing our flexibility. Actually, it was a Monday. But Jeremy's here. Jeremy, you started Skid Row Studios out of your apartment.
Yeah, I had an apartment on 7th and Spring Street.
Mm-hmm.
Just a few blocks from here.
Right.
And, it started in the second level floor.
But you're an IT guy.
I am. Yeah, my background's in computers. I've been doing that since I was a senior in high school.
But you've always loved radio.
Yeah, love talk radio. And I had an opportunity to visit the Tim Conway Jr. show at KFI.
Okay.
And
I met him.
Yeah, I knew the board op.
Name out of the past, right?
No kidding.
Oh, my God.
Love him.
Yeah.
I play pool with him once.
I
sort of like, the voice sounded familiar. He sort of looked like Tim Conway. I'm like, and then afterwards, it wasn't until afterwards I was realizing, like, oh, that was Tim Conway Jr. Okay.
Yeah, he's in the Valley, and so that makes sense. But, yeah, after going to that show, it was when I realized that I wanted to build a radio studio like a radio studio, but, you know, just be on the internet. So, you know, most of what we did here was broadcast style equipment and that kind of stuff instead of just a laptop and a microphone. Yeah.
No, it definitely, because I've been to other studios around town, and I don't want to bag on them, but I mean, this is as professional a setup as anybody has. Didn't you say somebody from BBC was like, wow, this is better than what we have at BBC?
That's true.
Thank you. Yeah.
Boy, talk about bare assets. This is like a palace compared.
Right. And there's room for people to spank each other and set people on fire.
That was your birthday.
Do shots.
Dash,
and,
but
oh,
you
yeah.
do that all the time.
Yeah, we do that all the time.
I know, Nicole.
Oh, yeah, hooks and eyelids. Yeah. Well, I don't want to pass out again, so I don't want to mention it, but we've had some weird things. But I mean, when I started here, I think I was the first one that had somebody with an electric wand shocking people. A Doc Shock.
Yeah.
And you remember that show?
I brought you nipple clamps, too.
Doc Shock's shocker device was so powerful that when he put on when he was shocking people, it would wipe out our video.
That's what I was telling Michael. When the video kind
of flicker.
Blinks.
Yeah, it was really funny. Yeah.
And I mean, some things I've done in here, I probably should not have done in here. But when Ginger Lynn had a show here, it was even crazier than that.
Yeah. You know, you got the fire and that kind of stuff and broken glass on the floor, but Ginger, she stepped it up.
She had somebody squirting on the show.
Yeah, squirting and all kinds of crazy
and all
stuff.
Sorts of stuff. Well, the reason I had you come in here because I do, like I said, next week may be my last show, may not be.
Right.
I definitely want to thank you for having us all this time and.
Thank you so much, Mark. Yay. I love your show.
This is a great show.
So do I.
And
thank
the station,
you, Jeremy,
thank
for
you.
Making it possible to
Thanks.
Have it look so good and be so good and be so much fun.
And the show's really, the station sort of started as a community outreach. Kind of an NPR for local downtown LA.
Right.
then a lot of comedians and sexual people started coming on with a lot of comedy and sex shows. And
sexual people?
Yeah, like you. So it's kind of coming back.
Absolutely.
So more of a community outreach.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, Skid Row Studios, the name kind of says it all. We're in downtown L.A. Skid Row is just a few blocks from here. And I've always had a fascination with that area and kind of highlighting not only the issues of that area, but, you know, the talent and poets and artists and things that come out of the Skid Row.
Because a lot of people, when they see the studio, they're like, and I tell them where they're at, they're like, that's not really Skid Row.
Right, right. Yeah.
Really, well, it's actually not. Driving in, though, you know where you are. But, right. You know, deep in Skid Row, where none of us actually go and walk around miles and miles and miles of it, and you know this, Jeremy, to be true. My son lives downtown L.A.,
and well, does he?
Yes, he does. Yeah, and he's just 23, turning 24 in August. He walked down there just a few weeks ago and said, Mom, I think every Los Angelino needs to walk those miles.
I think it's important, too. Yeah, I think people should...
Because you still live downtown.
Should be there and see what it's about, you know? Yeah.
There's a lot. So, was the Qumran Report the first show? Well, the first show was you trying to save King Eddie's, the bar.
No, the first... regular weekly show was the Qumran Report,
which is still on, and I recommend that to everybody. It's a community show hosted by
Melvin Ishmael Johnson.
Yeah, I forgot the Ishmael. I'm sorry, but it actually was playing just before our show came on, and it's always dealing with the issues down here. And you still have the Black Panther show on. There's a guy that interviews Black Panther.
That show's not with us anymore, that was some interesting stuff. Yeah,
they've got a lot of community shows here, but. The reason I had you on, other than to thank you for all, you know, for having us here and giving us a home here, is that you are a big Hunter Thompson fan.
Oh no!
When I told you that Michael Gogan was here, and you saw his picture, you're like, "That's the waiter guy from."
Well, okay, when you first had him on the show, you know, I found out after the fact.
I told you.
And I was just like, "Oh my God, I can't believe I didn't come to the studio to hang out," you know, and. Yeah, I'm a huge Hunter Thompson fan. I love Fear and Loathing. The scene that you're in particular is interesting because I had read somewhere along the line that Hunter was actually very offended by that scene. That the scene where he takes the coins and kind of throws them, Hunter was pissed off by that. And he had an issue with Terry Gilliam because Terry kind of took some poetic justice on that. It wasn't part of the book, that action, you know, where he's throwing the change. And Hunter was pissed off by that. He said he wouldn't be that disrespectful to someone in, you know, in service or whatever.
Well, let's give it a little clarity. I remember meeting that guy sitting at the tent.
Always, Hunter Thompson?
Oh, yeah. And wearing his big hat. And I have to tell you that it was a perfect scene for the movie. Because it ended up being the second most important scene of that movie. Mm. I mean, the popularity of that film, of course, is because of Johnny Depp and Benicio del Toro. That would be stereotypical to say that.
Right.
But when you watch the film, people are always remembering the scene of the little guy who brought the phone to the table.
Right.
Which is in the book, but not the throwing of the change.
Not the throwing of the change,
was that
right?
Mad Lib?
No, I. That's a good question. I would imagine it was incorporated somehow because of Terry Gilliam.
Okay, so it wasn't Johnny Depp ad-libbing.
Nah, I don't think so. But it was funny because it matched up with my going like this, okay? Like, what am I standing here for? My chopped liver or something?
Right.
And when he threw the change on the floor, it's like I give him a look like, you fucking ass.
Yeah, I remember the look.
But it was fun. And what do you want to know about that scene?
Well, I'm just curious if you ever heard that Hunter was upset by that scene, because I think it was the Criterion Collection version where he did the commentary where he was very outspoken about being pissed off about that scene.
I think he was just being polite with the idea that the little person actually came in and acted out the role. Maybe that was it.
Really?
Yeah.
You got beef with Hunter Thompson? And let's get out there.
Yeah, a lot of people did, right?
Yeah, a lot of people did. So I had a great time doing the role according to the artistic value of what Terry Gilliam wanted. And we talked about this a lot before we shot it.
Right.
And he apologized to me for not having more dialogue. And I said, well, the real dialogue is not about me.
Right.
It's really about delivering the phone because...
And the phone's what starts the whole story.
And really does start the whole story.
So it wouldn't surprise you, Jeremy, to know that Hunter Thompson wasn't beloved by everybody.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely.
He could be an asshole once in a while, I'm sure.
Yeah, and he's famous for his just flaming letters to people about... I think during the production of that film, he would fax these letters to Terry Gilliam, just like flipping out, you know, about everything.
And apparently, he didn't like the other one, where the Buffalo Room, where Bill Murray played Hunter Thompson.
Oh, I love that.
That I didn't know, but I love that film as well. Yeah.
I like that one even more.
And there's a rumor that you're in that, but you're not.
I'm not in that movie, and I'm in the credits.
You're in the credits. You're in the credits.
I'm in the credits, and I'm going. That's not me.
That's interesting.
Did you get the residuals too?
They won't. No, they don't pay it out for that because there's another film that's like that also, the Oompa Loompa one. And
the Charlie and Chocolate Factory?
No, the other one, it was like a parody and all the comedy.
Okay.
I can't think of it right now.
Oh, one of the parody movies.
Yeah.
Like Scary Movie or one. Oh, Epic Movie.
That's it.
Oompa Loompa. It's on your IMDb page.
That's right.
But you were not the Oompa Loompa in the Epic movie.
No way. And I'm in there. I'm in the credits. Right. I'm playing. You know what? There's got to be a payday along the way here.
But you were in 5 Easy Steps to Pick Up on a Vampire's Girlfriend.
Oh, that's a great.
That's
project.
A good. I got to check that one out.
Yeah.
And you were in. Critters.
I was in Critters.
And Munchies. After Gremlins was a big hit. They had a lot of Critters, Munchies, Ghoulies, and you were in a couple of those. And you were in a couple soap operas.
Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
Passions. Yeah. Santa Barbara was fun.
You were Malcolm in Santa Barbara.
I had a great time working with Chuck McCann.
Santa
Claus.
Oh, that's great.
And I was...
You were the elf?
I was the elf. And we had so much fun for a week. And it was at the old NBC in Burbank. And it was like, oh, my God. It was like a dream. Everything.
The adrenaline is so hot, right?
Yeah.
Hey, well, what about working with the Olsen twins?
Well, they were kids.
The very Adventures of Mary Kate and Ashley, the Case of the Christmas Caper. Were you an elf in that too?
Yeah, in fact, I had. I was slick.
Slick the elf.
Yeah, and I had the most speaking lines. I had a great time, but the kids were going through the split up.
Oh.
You know where?
Why do they split up?
Where the mom and the dad wanted them.
Oh, okay.
You know, so we had to put up with whatever garbage was going on. And then Warner Brothers trying to hold down the fort, and it was quite interesting.
So. Actually, Nicole's got a question, too.
Yeah, what I was pointing out was shifty-looking man in Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman. Just a shifty-looking man.
Yeah, they called it that, and it was a phone booth thing. I was like, I would be called in at the weirdest times just to be the character actor, the fill-in. Was there any major audition? No.
Like,
they would say, call Michael Gogan, he'll do it. And I would either say yes or no, depending upon who was directing. And that was simple. That was as simple as it gets.
So you were the shifty man in numerous episodes.
That's right.
We need somebody that's shifty looking.
There you go.
Michael Gogan. Yes. He's shifty.
Yeah.
And of course, Bree Walker's been in a lot of TV shows and movies. Regular on French Prince of Bel-Air. We sort of glossed over that one time. But a lot of people know you from that, I would imagine.
You know, it keeps getting aired, so it's nice that it does have some legs.
Did you ever see Bree on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
And Jag.
Well, since I've watched it, I don't remember.
I think we all remember Nip Tuck and Carnival.
Yeah. That was my favorite thing, of course, watching any HBO thing happen, unfold, as you know, Michael, being on the set of an HBO Enterprise is... They spent a lot of money. It's all the bells and whistles and playing a character in this case.
And
you're the Scorpion Queen.
Right, it's almost like when Tinseltown died, HBO kind of picked it up, right?
And Showtime and the other channels picked it up, too.
You're hearing that audio bloom now, don't you?
Yeah, I think HBO just took over the production here. Because you did do a lot of acting for a while, but you were in The Chase. You've been in a lot of movies as the anchor woman.
Yeah, and then, one of those things that came up where I wasn't an anchor woman, playing an anchor woman. Certainly the Carnival role and the Nip Tuck role were not anchor people, but also the one that CBS sanctioned, which was an event where a meteor hits the earth, and I'm running through a fire and jumping out of a helicopter and rescuing a little girl. And that was called Without Warning way back when.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I loved doing that one too.
Oh, that's great.
So it was action, and I always loved mostly being in the field in action, like in Somalia and in Nagorno-Karabakh and places like that.
Right.
So that's cool. And that's what really brought me into working with Greg Palast now in the upcoming documentary we're doing on.
And Greg Palast is, I'm a big fan of his work. He's a very
And the comic that works with him, Ted Rahl, just got fired from the LA Times.
Now we can get from Ed Merrill. So please, you have the floor. Please let the LA Times
have it
firing Ted Rahl and succumbing to the corporate pressure.
Right. Look at his comics. If you aren't familiar, he's been the political cartoonist at the LA Times for a long, long time, and of course for many other places as well, and has done a lot of Greg Palast wonderful comic book series, taking political satirism to the new level.
Ted gave
them the get all on that, but I do plan to talk to him on the phone as soon as it's possible, because I know that the LA Times is getting some crap from fans. But apparently the LAPD put pressure on the LA Times, and it has something do with a 14-year-old jaywalking ticket that Ted Rahl got. And it's one of those things, Jeremy, that you're going to love looking into, because I know you got the muckraking spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's Ted and then R-A-L-L.
No, I've seen his work before.
Yeah, you're a fan, right?
I am a fan, but it's tough for cartoonists out there. First the French people,
silencing of journalists is just so wrong. That's why we have the kind of media that we're disappointed with, and the people that I still know in the news business who have integrity are wringing their hands too. But we have Kardashianized our outlook on the world. We've basically become nothing but shells.
I have not done that. I like you just the way you are.
We can leave the studio if you two would like to be alone. But that's a married man. No, I know he teaches. We're going to get to that. But it's so odd that it's gotten so bad that Donald Trump is the number one guy for president.
I think that's a game. I think it's just
it is a game for him, but not a game for people
in the media.
He's putting it one way. It's like a Republican Trump card, if you will, so that when they drop their actual candidate, it'll be fine. And plus, he makes a ton of money off donations, because it's a great way to make money.
Well, and he will be front and center in the debate next Thursday. You're going to see him be front and center, because it's about who polls the highest,
but I don't believe
not whose political stand.
And how do you think that's going to go?
I think that it'll be a political satire.
Yeah, exactly. It'll be a show.
Wish Ted Rahl would be there to sketch it.
Maybe it won't, because I read today in the news somewhere that he may have a solution on a business level to correct a lot of things that are going on in the United States.
Some of what he says is absolutely picking the resonance out of the American spirit right now and making it the nugget of what he's going after. So I'm going to be interested.
It's still a game.
I'm
very confident.
But he's been doing this every election for a while.
Although I also know that he's the sort of person that in the back of his mind believes he could be the next Reagan.
Oh, I don't know about that.
It doesn't matter if it's true. I'm saying he believes that, and it keeps it going.
Well, you mean he's going to have Alzheimer's?
Do we have to go back to the music that was part of the 80s, too?
Oh, I like that. But
hey, somehow Schwarzenegger ended up governor.
You're a musician.
I am. Thank you for giving me
the CD.
Great, thanks for the segue, Bree. She's on top of it. No, Michael is a singer and guitar player, and we were going to play some of his songs, actually, if we can. This song here it is.
Ooh, Lady Night. Ooh.
This is Lady Night.
That's Rico Garcia on the percussion. He's a great artist.
Time for the dancing.
Finer than the dance with a lady at night. Breathing on my neck, sharing a moment, holding on. She can make me feel her ways. I want her anytime, Lady Night.
Oh,
come on, close.
Then you put on a squeal and make things feel
right. Sometimes
it
gets a little weirded out when we dance.
Slowly we both go, wondering where this will lead us to. Late at night.
Oh, I didn't hear this. Wow, how'd you
know
this?
Oh, let's see.
Yeah.
How far can we go? I find releasing myself is a strain. Telling myself no, it's not the solution to this game.
Okay, that's very gothic. Lady Night, I like that.
Gorgeous song.
Thank you.
Apparently my knees taste delicious.
Yes.
your pit bull has been like, he's all, while Bree's dancing, I'm going to go over and lick her knees.
Wasn't me.
I know. We saw
it. Was so shocking. I was like, what was,
is that Michael? No, that's Petey.
Yeah, Michael does.
Oh, wait, no, he does another trick. When you play the harmonica, apparently he goes crazy.
Yeah. Do you play?
I used to play.
Okay.
Well, you're
okay,
Bree.
Bree's going to play some Ophelia Parmaca.
I'm not sure that Petey will do it with all this attention around.
Because we tried it last time.
Oh, baby.
There he is.
Oh. That's adorable.
That is adorable.
I'm gonna have to record that on one of my songs.
At
home, he just goes crazy.
All right, Petey. I've seen him go crazy. All right, Petey.
So, you know,
tell us about Lady Night.
Lady Night is kind of cool because it's really, when you hear it, you're probably assuming it's about some lady in the night, you know?
That's what I was assuming.
No, it's much more spiritual than that.
Okay.
What's nice about the song are the artists that were able to play with me. So Rico Garcia is on percussion.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Van Zandt, who is the brother of the guy who writes songs with the Kiss guy. So, Gene Simmons, right? So
Gene Simmons. So these are pretty heavyweight session guys.
Yeah, and then the bass player played with Santana and Keith Richardson, which is really a great black artist that plays bass with Carlos Santana.
Okay.
On all the original beginning albums. And
okay.
Lives in Hawaii. He's really a great guy.
And
the dog's licking my leg. It must be delicious.
The dog's licking everybody's legs.
They're so tasty.
I love
this. Yeah, he's jealous of me because I actually dance with Bree.
I love his dog as long as it doesn't go any further than
Victor.
Well, the funny thing is that
the dog's bigger than you, so it's
I'm going to put a saddle on this dog.
It actually would work.
So here's the story on the song Lady Night. When I grew up, I had a group of cloistered nuns that prayed for me from the day I was born until it's still happening today.
Right.
In fact, I'm planted in the altar of their chapel in San Francisco.
Oh, wow.
My grandfather was a chiropractor, but also was their metaphysical healer.
Okay.
And they're from, this cloistered nun group were from Guatemala.
Cloistered nuns had medical physical healers.
Doctors, you know, just like anybody else. They had doctors, okay. So as I grew up, I was able to go behind the, what they called the partition. Or they would come to see me whenever I was in the hospital, which was like a no-no because they were cloistered nuns.
Right.
So I was a part of their family. So one time, my spiritual advisor, her name was I forgot sister's name right now, but she had said that you should. We wish you could be here this Friday night because we are going to be dancing with the Lord. And I thought, wow, how profound.
Yeah.
And I just had that song in my head about what could be finer than to dance with the lady at night.
Right.
And
this is when you were, I was you had kid. No hips?
I had no hips.
Right.
It was very, very painful.
You had a lot of medical trauma when you were a child.
Yes, I did.
Well, we talked about last time. If people aren't following it, but yeah, I mean, you really... I'm still trying to wrap my head around that you did not have hips.
I had no hip socket, no hip joints, and I had cartilage there. But as the years went on, let's say from 7 years of age on,
right,
the cartilage was disappearing.
Right.
And all I had was a pointed tip as the bone that went into the pelvis area. So it becomes bone on bone, and it's like, ugh.
It's okay. He's all right now, Nicole. It's okay.
And I became, of course, the first teenager to have a total hip replacement.
Right.
And to this date, if I did not have those, I would not have any sexual activity.
And you have plenty of that.
I do. I have a wonderful partner.
He teaches
in my life.
People how to love.
Yeah. Wow. So tell us about your lovemaking teaching. You're teaching people how
perfect
to kiss.
For that. Wow.
That's coming up with Meet the Biz with David Zimmerman and his group. And Dr. Mary Lou, I have to give a shout out to a few people before I move on here. I got to give a shout out.
He has a list.
Brought
a list.
I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry.
Don't be sorry.
But as we talked about last time, your wife is a sex therapist.
Well, Mary Lou, Dr. Mary Lou and I, we're not married, but we are.
Your girlfriend is a.
No, we're very.
Life partners.
One-on-one, and you know, that's what we are.
Life partners, you would say?
We are life partners.
The girl you're fucking is a sex therapist.
Wow. Yeah, absolutely.
Monogamously.
Okay,
long-term,
now we know how we got it. Okay.
No end in sight.
Right.
So Dr. Mary Lou,
you know.
She's a doctor of human sexuality. I got to give a shout out to her. Hi, baby, wherever you are, camera.
Yes.
And Bree says hello to you, and yes, she's going to want to meet you someday.
Yes. Need some lessons, huh, Bree?
So will Petey.
Always. Use some lessons.
I doubt that, seriously.
You're going to meet this person tomorrow night, Jim Randles, at your show.
Hi, Jim.
Jim is a radio jock like you are. He's also a little person.
Okay.
And he's really looking forward to meeting you.
I can't wait to meet him.
Yeah, he's a great guy, you know.
And he's an LP that spins LPs.
Little person, there
you
go.
Okay.
That spins LPs.
I got to give a shout out to the Gypsy
it's
Poet.
It's like your comedian or something.
Yeah, the Gypsy Poet.
The Gypsy Poet, who's Sophie DeGonis, and she's in Austin, Texas. And that's another person that says hello to you.
I say hello to her. I might be at the Austin Vampire Ball. Hopefully we can meet each other.
He would like to say hello to you.
And I have a new member in my entertainment family. And that would be, but we've known each other forever. But she's taken more of a vested interest, and that would be Penny Landau, who's my PR person.
Okay.
With Maya PR in New York. God bless you, girl.
Mm-hmm. Good job, Penny.
These are true believers in understanding that the human spirit is not contained by a human shell.
That's right.
I would say so. Although you both, I mean, you've gone through hard times, but your shells, I mean... Talk about a ladies' man. Talk about a woman that guys go crazy over.
That shawl. I want that shawl. It's beautiful.
Oh, you can have it, darling.
Well, it's funny because last time you were on, you called in. So this is the first time you met Nicole.
Yeah.
And I told you. I told you, Bree's the coolest. And also, Bree, you are getting back in the public eye slowly but surely.
Yeah, working on some documentaries. I have been a progressive political talk show person most recently after retiring from broadcasting.
And for your people that support Trump, for you people that support Trump, that means a pico liberal. But go ahead. So.
Yeah, I like Bernie Sanders.
Does anyone support Trump?
I think that
you'd be surprised.
We're interested in seeing what he's got to say, for sure. Next Thursday will be an interesting day.
Let's be honest.
If he says it, really, the people in America are thinking it as well. And if he believes in it, there are some people out there that do as well. It does shake up the pot, though. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
We really need that to be shaken up because for the last several years, it's been kind of like...
Well, I mean,
maybe the president's just a figurehead. If that's the figurehead the nation wants.
Well, I don't know that it is, Nicole. Certainly not where I was raised in the Midwest. We're kind of... we have some progressive values that also cross over. Now, I was born in Oakland, California, but raised after the age of 3 in Minnesota. So it's, right. Oh, yeah, you betcha, Minnesotan. But, I mean, that whole section went very red instead of blue some time ago.
Give her some cheese.
Right, oh, yeah, now. I know how to use a wood chipper, too. But, you know, apparently. My point is that I don't really like being represented all over the world this way. Is right. this really how That's, we're going to have an election? Yeah. Are we a bunch of fools?
I'm sorry I brought it up again, but
honestly,
I should rephrase that. He's a figurehead to us, but he's also the host of the nation to the world.
And he can afford to do this every election.
But if you look at the alternative on that side, there's not much.
Not yet.
There are
some placeholders.
I think he's just
a placeholder, right?
I still think it's gonna be Clinton and Bush, which is sad to say. But,
well, we will certainly have some time to work that out, but let's see if they don't steal the election first, which is why you all need to check out Billionaires and Ballot Bandits by Greg Palast.
And you get
the funny thing is you're talking
Palast.
To a room who's very aware of where the money is.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So, but I mean, I now deal with documentaries on animal rescue. I also am part of a team of shark conservation people with my cool. Hawaii shark we do shark encounters. It's right. called Hawaii Shark Encounters. We're not an adventure. We do conservation, but we also take out our two boats with shark cage. And I sometimes tell people
do
this
you,
for the hell of it. This
pet,
is what happened to me.
Do you pet the gums of the white sharks?
Well, this is what happened to me when I did, you see. So.
Yes.
Oh, no, that was a 4th of July firecracker. Right. I lose track.
The shark story's way better.
Now they did a hand transplant on a young man.
I saw that.
I mean, you were a first miracle as a teenager.
Yeah.
This kid, same thing, with a hand transplant.
He was so young, too.
Would you get a hand transplant?
Only if I could have a third arm to go with it. I sure need one.
Right?
Oh. Yeah. Actually, sometimes I invite people over because they have fingers. I can't pick up a lot of things off the floor, but my dog, Petey, usually eats whatever
I
drop.
Well, I mean, it'll help texting better.
He's filled with pennies.
It would help, you text better. It would help you.
I want to know, do you play backgammon?
And the piano.
There you go. We're going to get together.
I'll bet you can shuffle a deck of cards really good, too.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. They all go flying in there.
Gives new meaning to 52 pickup, right?
Hey, see, you get these two together, forget about it. But, so, Jerry.
I am having.
Yeah.
So, go ahead. Nicole was going to say something. I'm
just
sorry.
Saying, Petey really, is making sure everything below my knees is very clean.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a sweet dog.
Yes. Is he bothering you, Nicole?
No, it's adorable.
Yes.
He's on my sandals right now.
Yes,
he's only 90 pounds.
Yeah, I love it. My last dog was a Rottweiler before he passed away. So.
Please say a little bit more about the sharks.
Tell us about the shark. We'll get back to you, Jeremy. Speaking of sharks.
Yeah, Hawaii Shark Encounters is a company that I'm invested in, a company I believe in. My two captains out in North Shore, Oahu, are doing great business with conservation. We are in affiliation with a documentary called Extinction Soup, which is about shark fin soup, which still is being served in some nations, and we're fighting it tooth and nail, all pun intended. And I think that because I'm working now with animal rescue, my most recent filming was last week, doing equine-assisted therapy coverage, a new company that is being put together in Prescott, Arizona for the therapy community, is launching one of the ever-growing equine-assist therapy programs. Mm-hmm. And that was fascinating because, you know, you can't fool a dog and you can't fool a horse. Horses are as intuitive as dolphins.
Now, when was the first time you were ever on a horse, Bree?
You know, not until I was in my 20s because I didn't grow up with any money. And so when I got my first real TV checks as opposed to my rock and roll radio DJ checks, licking Nicole's
and then he's
feet.
All, and
that's
then I'm just
my
gonna
dog
fall
licking
asleep
Nicole's
here.
Feet right now.
Exactly.
Doesn't that feel good? It's a little bit like rubbing your ears. We can't do it with headphones on, but that's supposed to be sexual, you know?
No, he's on. No, well, I'll take the headphones off.
Now you're talking. Hey, but you were going to say
like
so.
Working
so,
with animals.
So,
now.
So you,
I'm kind of disappointed in some people.
So you're working on a documentary about equine therapy.
Uh-huh. Equine assisted therapy, which is used for many populations at risk, even brought now into prison populations. Not just emotional therapy stuff, but PTSD, military,
sure.
All of the stuff that we need to interact with animals, it's good for us. They say the outside of a horse is good for the inside of a man. I say it's good for the inside of a woman. I put my daughter on a horse at 6 months with me.
Well, I can't remember the name of which tribe, but for them, the native tribe, their native word for dog basically meant little horse.
Exactly.
So horses have always been a source of comfort.
And, see, you are an anthropology girl. I love an anthropology woman.
She also has a pit bull cuddling her right now.
Yes, the pit bull is licking Nicole, and she's still maintaining her composure.
I love animals.
And animals, you know, will lower somebody's high blood pressure down. I mean, it's kind of cool.
Absolutely. And the intuitiveness. So you can't fool them. My daughter is actually majoring now in this kind of therapy.
That's great.
And so I got very curious about what was going on.
Did she get married? Because I know she was about to.
They're right now trying to plan what's going on. So, no, she's not married yet. She's too young to get married.
You're not a grandma yet, huh?
No, but I would like to be.
Oh, okay.
I might be soon.
I'm a grandpa.
You are a grandpa.
Congratulations. It's great.
Yeah.
Jeremy doesn't have any kids.
I might be sooner. I have two kids.
No. I have three boys.
And you have one grandson?
I have one grandson, Matthew Gogan.
And does he bounce you on his knee?
Wait. Let me
Matthew, I couldn't resist it.
You know what? It could happen, you know? I just don't know. Steve-O.
I know.
Steve-O is tiny like Grandpa.
Right.
He's a little person.
Oh, okay.
He's adorable. And when people talk to him, they go, "Well, Michael, this is like a carbon copy of you." And
I
go, "No, it's a carbon. I'm a carbon. His son,
right?
I mean, my son.
But
your son,
your son is not a little person.
Yes, that particular son is a little person.
Oh, okay.
And his son is a little person. So that genetic component thing happened, and it's like, wow.
Right.
Yeah, ectrodactyly is considered a dominant gene. Both my children have it, but I was in a family of 4 children, and 2 in my family do not, and 2 do. So that's the way it turned out, 50-50. Is that what they told you about your likelihood of passing along was 50-50?
It was 50-50, and mine was also done at Cedars-Sinai with a doctor that came in from Vanderbilt, Dr. George Tiller, amazing man.
Right.
We actually played.
He worked with Larry Flatt, I believe.
Yeah.
In the biogenetics.
Yeah, we play music together. You have to come over and play your harmonica with us.
I will.
We got a jam session going here.
We got a jam session going.
Because, you know, Petey's ready really for YouTube. Yeah. And because he's so good, and he is a rescue.
Oh, he is on YouTube a lot, though.
But anyways.
Because you're in Venice Beach.
Yeah.
You are like the queen of Venice.
I don't know. Do people put me in
I didn't mean to interrupt
me?
You, Michael, but there's a lot of...
That's right. I've been cut short before.
There's a lot of posts. Because you're all over Venice, and there's a lot of... Oh, here's Bree walking her dog. Here's Bree walking her dog. There's a lot of them on YouTube.
Well, Pete is a pretty flashy boy.
Yes. Yeah. But you're pretty flashy yourself. And people... Because people don't... When they're walking down Venice Beach, they don't like, wait a second. She used to be on the news. They don't expect it.
This dog looks and appears very comfortable. He's not like...
He is. When he first came to me, it was not the case, though. He came from the valley and from a shelter, and he was a very nervous dog.
Wow.
I would totally rescue a pit bull.
Oh,
yeah.
He's very comfortable in the studio, yes.
And no one ever wants to rescue them.
Nope. And he's been with me now 5 years.
That's special.
It's taken a long time, but I did really put a lot of things on hold in terms of doing much in my own life, socially or professionally, to devote time because I really did not know what I was taking on when he first came to me. And then as he started to exhibit some of the PTSD, some of that stuff that people do to animals, which gets me going over the top.
I'm a huge cat lover. And one of the things I like about the internet making cats cute is at least people have stopped doing the horrible things they would always do to cats because people didn't understand them because their attitudes. So they just treat them terrible. But
we'll talk about that. Listen. Most perfect timing to talk about cats, right? With this horrible thing in South Africa.
Oh, God, this dentist. And I know that it's terrible for his family because they didn't have anything to do with it. And now he has no business. His business is over and literally over overnight.
Right.
But what was he thinking?
I don't want to know the sort of person who could waste that much money on something that's not even remotely sportsmanlike and calling it a sport. It's just ridiculous.
We also, Nicole, have to blame the woman who is the, quote, big game huntress, the one who lays out her sexy body next to the elephants that she murders.
And there is absolutely...
I'm not familiar with... What is it? Sexy body what?
Yeah, there's a chick who's like fucking lazy.
I don't! There's a TV show where there's a sexy woman laying in...
Big Game Huntress or something like that.
I would have never... I have to watch it now because it's going to make me sick.
We're
and I want to make
the
sure
point that it's not even impressive to kill a human because most humans are so easy to kill. It is certainly not impressive to kill a wild animal.
Well, gosh, they're not, they don't have a voice. And it's just the same thing with sharks and the same thing with...
I mean, I saw someone make a most dangerous game joke, and I was like, but is it even a dangerous game at this point? We're just shooting people left and right. People are pretty easy to kill now. Killing things is no longer easy. Carving is no longer a complex thing.
We've been desensitized to the whole thing.
Exactly.
The sad part about this whole thing with the lion is not just the lion being killed, but the tribe that the lion had where the next male, alpha male, comes up and... No questions asked will destroy every one of the pups from that relationship of all the other female cats.
Yep.
That's not right. It just destroys the whole family of that.
And this is an idiot who doesn't even care. He just wants to pay $50,000 to have a lion head on his wall to say that I'm brutal.
Well,
but you're not freaking brutal. They had a freaking spotlight on it, and anyone can kill something.
And
anyone.
He lied about a previous issue that was
Oh, yeah, and he also
similar.
Had a second lion. So who cares? You didn't even need the second lion.
Well, speaking of an alpha male who actually likes pets, Jeremy. Now, I'm trying to get off the Cecil thing.
Is Petey licking you too, Jeremy?
Petey's licking Jeremy. Yeah. He's all over the place.
He's great.
Now, I think the last time you were in the studio.
Yeah.
Was when we had Sasha Gray in and David J from Love and Rockets.
Yeah.
You made sure you were there that night.
I did.
Sasha Gray, the number one porn star who has transitioned to legitimate movies. You've had a lot of porn stars in here.
Well, you know, Ginger Lynn, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
Porn stars every day.
Yeah. I mean, our show's had extreme stuff, but what was the most extreme thing that happened at Skid Row? So I was telling Michael's like, you can do anything you want, huh? I'm like, pretty much.
So the thing that sticks out with Ginger Lynn that happened on her show, my girlfriend's friend, it was his birthday.
Yeah.
And, you know, he knows Ginger Lynn from the late 80s, early 90s.
Who doesn't know Ginger Lynn?
Yeah, you know, and he's
That's like... That's a whole new generation. I don't know.
So it's his birthday. I'm like, you want to go to the studio and meet Ginger Lynn? So I think... You know, he's going to come in and they're going to take a picture together. Hey, this is Ginger Lynn. Well, Ginger pulls him onto her show. Hey, come in, sit down on the mic. And he's going crazy. He's loving it.
I'm sure. I did when I was at her show.
What Ginger did was is she got down on the floor right there by the control room window, took a bottle of water, squirted it up her vagina. And then they sang Happy Birthday, and at the end of Happy Birthday, she fired it out into his face.
Oh, no, just the water?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
She launched it like a super soaker into his face.
Old Faithful.
And he loved it.
That's a super soaker.
Oh, yeah.
Happy birthday to me.
His wife is in the control room, and she's just like, you know, but...
By the way, Nicole's birthday's coming up. So
please don't do that to me. Yeah. Do not do that to me.
Yeah, but yeah, that was a memorable experience with Ginger.
I don't want that.
Right. No, you don't want that?
No, that's
and
not
also, God, where does the time go as usual? Legs McNeil was
Jeremy's
in here. You had to have loved that.
Yeah.
Legs McNeil, the punk author.
Right, yeah.
That's right up your alley.
What was his big book?
Please Kill Me.
Please Kill Me, right?
Oh, yeah,
Please
Kill
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely. That was great.
The factory and the,
So you've met a lot of people that you would have met otherwise.
I've met so many people through the studio that I'm big fans of, you know, and it's people that maybe some others wouldn't recognize. You know, we had Linda King from Charles Bukowski fame and Women in here. We had Dan Fonte, a writer that I
like
admire.
Like, you're listening to awesome writers, so I'm really respecting this right now.
Yeah, no, and people that I, you know, huge fans of, and I have no idea how this all came together and how they ended up here. But, you know, I've been able to manifest a lot of my heroes.
Now, it's the same thing with me, and that's why I do appreciate you giving me a home here at the Skid Row Studios.
Thank you so
much.
Now,
I'm going to have to rebook next week's show to have all authors, but we'll figure it out.
yes.
If that's what you want, Nicole, I'll do it.
Anyway, we
get off.
I'll look up Netflix reveal.
24th.
Mid-August. So.
Yeah.
We'll talk
about
it.
There's going to be a party.
There's going to be a party.
Big party.
Michael's invited. You're invited.
You're Leo, right?
Yeah.
Leo.
I'm on the cusp.
Yeah.
But
Michael Lioness.
We're going to be there.
So There we go. Yeah, you got to bring back Cecil the Lion. Anyway, so Jeremy is on Facebook as Chester Farnsworth.
Yeah.
Which I'm not sure. Chester, just two silly names that you've always...
There's no story behind that. Yeah. I started that account just to use for the studio, and then I ended up adding people, and it became my account.
And a lot of people know you as Chester.
With an N?
Yeah, people call me that just because I'm on Facebook as that.
Right. And it's Farnsworth, F-A-R-N?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just two silly pompous names is what I was told. And Michael, how do people get a hold of you and get a hold of your music? Because we like it.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. Well, there's a couple of ways. They can go to my website at michaelleegogan.com.
Right.
But if they really would like to write to me, I welcome it at michaelgogan@gmail.com.
Okay. And do you have any acting projects coming out?
I do. I'm working with a group from my high school years. And we've put together a TV pilot idea that we're trying to get off the ground. It's about 3 1/2 amigos that go into marijuana dispensary business.
There you go.
I'm into this. That's what
nice. I can see that. Netflix, please. Yeah. Pick it up.
And there's more, but that's good for now. And I'm still doing music with other artists,
right,
which is important to me because that's a part of my...
You have a great voice. I didn't know that back when I met you 20-some years ago.
Well, you have a great voice, too.
Oh.
Well, let's jam together a little bit.
We're going to do it.
I would love to do some background vocals with you.
And Bree, in your sultriest voice.
Ah, happy birthday. Miss Nicole, happy birthday to you.
Yeah.
That's not a bad voice either. And how do people get a hold of you, Bree?
BreeWalker2263@gmail.com.
Yes.
Or you can go to the Bree Walker Lampley Fan Club page, which I'm really bad about facing, looking.
Yes, yes.
Looking my face all the time. But, I pop in now and then. So,
you've got such a beautiful face. You used to model, and there's pictures of you modeling with your hands in your pockets. Did that make you uncomfortable?
When I was a DJ in New York City, I couldn't afford really to live in New York during the summer of Sam years and the years thereafter before I crossed over into television. So I was doing modeling, and I had some prosthetic gloves made, which I still have. They're about decaying now.
Wow.
But they were made by a French prosthetist.
But you don't need those anymore.
But I bring them out at Halloween.
Oh, that's a good thing.
Really? Yeah. You're like, hey.
I put them on my feet.
Right.
And so then I got hands on my feet.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, I do crazy things with photographs and stuff. I'm kind of a sick puppy. You know that.
I know a side of Bree. You've been on the show four times, five times. And we've gotten to see a different side of Bree on this show.
Aww,
and I'm glad to hear she's talking about her punk days. She's talking about her sexuality. Yeah. She's talking about a lot of stuff.
So, yeah, I mean, that was fun to, it was fun to be able to sort of fake my way into television by having those prosthetic gloves available after I did radio and then transitioned to television in San Diego. But legitimately, I was an investigative reporter. That had been my background before I went into rock and roll radio, which I still love and still love to do talk radio and stuff. Right. But TV was very, very good to me in the very, very good golden years of it.
And you've been very, very good to the show. I hate to cut you off. I hate to cut you off. We could talk forever, but... We got to go.
Thank you so much for having me.
Go to Nicole6.com and get you some fucked up shit, and soon.
Jeremy's great.
Nina, the Intergalactic Slayer.
Thank you so much.
Oh, it's available online now. So Nicole6.com, I have two books available.
And your two exes.
Some fucked up shit and Nina, the Intergalactic Slayer.
Demon Slayer, Volume 1.
And
there'll be more.
Go to gothcomedian.com and everybody have a wonderfully creepy week. Bye.
See you tomorrow night.
Yes, you will.
Yeah, go see Mark tomorrow night.